Hi, I'm Charlie Carver, and you're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast on your pod. Pod it. I will run the woods and have stories to tell.
Welcome to episode 132 of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, coming to you the weekend after New York Comic Con to talk about all of the content that we got from that convention, which is the last official press appearance, I guess, the Teen Wolf cast will be doing, at least to promote a new season, which is crazy, and I'm sure Karen has a lot to say about that, about her experiences being there. So, yeah, I'm one of your hosts, Natalie. I was not at New York Comic Con. Karen, our other lead host and Teen Wolf journalist and co-founder, etc., was at that convention and is here to tell you all about that. And we're going to talk together about the new footage that was released during that weekend that is going to tease us about season six, basically. They've actually given quite a lot. So, but before that, if you want to get in touch with us all season, you know, as we're recapping Teen Wolf, or if you want to talk about this new footage or talk to us about anything else, you can reach us on our Twitter, which is NATW Podcast, our email address, which is natwpodcast@gmail.com, our Instagram, which is NATW Podcast as well, and then our Tumblr, which is notanotherteenwolfpodcast.com. That is a Tumblr-hosted site that you can follow as you would a normal Tumblr account. So that is where we live, but we also have a little bit of news about our internet presence, I suppose you might want to say. You may have noticed, if you're a regular follower of the podcast, that the Twitter hub and the Instagram hub are now sharing space with a new podcast that we are doing that is also under the NATWP initial branding, I guess, if you want to call it that. So we're actually making a hub with for those podcasts with the same team behind them and hopefully some of the same audience. And yeah, we'll tell you a little bit more about that podcast right now, I suppose. Karen, would you like to give your take on our new project?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like you've been spearheading this whole thing while I've been off gallivanting at New York Comic Con. and I feel bad because I wasn't really here. But yeah, so this is a new project that Nat's been thinking about for a long time. And we basically knew that, you know, Teen Wolf was going to end, obviously. And we didn't really know what to do with Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. We didn't want to stop podcasting with each other, so we decided to just keep it going, but in sort of a different way. And Not About the Weather is going to be more of a general podcast, more of a conversational podcast, where we just talk about whatever we like and dislike for the week. And I think I'm really excited about it because it really doesn't have any restrictions. Like, I like the focus of Not Another Teen Wolf podcast because we come in, we talk about Teen Wolf, we can talk about it, you know, for an hour, hour and a half, and we get really deep into it. But also, if you guys haven't noticed over the years, we tend to get distracted by other topics. Nat and I just like talking to each other. Yeah. And when we bring other people on, we just like talking to them about anything. So Not About the Weather is going to be a really great platform to kind of like expand that conversation into those things that we tend to get distracted by.
And maybe it'll, you know, stop us getting so distracted on our other shows. Who can tell? Because, yeah, so, you know, if you want to consider it, like, you know, kind of the age of phone calls is sort of gone. Like, you know, people, maybe some people do, but it's not that common to pick up your phone and actually call someone and talk for 2 hours, like just to talk. And so podcasting is kind of like that for us. So when I speak to Karen, I'm like, oh my God, did you see this thing? Like, you know, it's, and it's not necessarily going to be about the topic we're meant to be podcasting about. So Not About the Weather is going to be, yeah, a general like pop culture centric podcast. It's hopefully not going to be too personally indulgent, but it is certainly a show that you'd be following because you want to hear us talk about things as opposed to you want to hear a podcast about a certain show or something like that. So That is very different. It's, yeah, as Karen said, it's very unrestricted. It could go forever. We could bring on literally any guest in the world to slip into the format that we want to do, including, you know, as an interview, or it could just be someone who we, you know, we like talking to about, you know, even someone from the Teen Wolf community that, you know, just might want to come on and talk about something else. They could either participate just as a host or as a proper interview as well, with a slight segue into our format of talking about our, you know, our obsession for the week and our grievance for the week, as you'll hear when you hear the first episode, which we've already recorded. So I'm excited about, like, the potential of various people that could come on. It's not just going to be me and Karen. We already have a core team of about 7 people that is obviously including the Not Another Teen Wolf podcast team. Like Donya is involved, obviously, and you'll hear her on an episode very, very soon. Brooke is involved behind the scenes, and we also have a couple of our friends from the podcasting community who are a part of this project who are not in the Teen Wolf fandom, and that's Brittany, who's been on this show to talk about Not Teen Wolf before, Brittany Lovely, Ariana Quinones, and Mitch Clow, who you would have heard on a variety of podcasts with us before. But we could invite literally anyone on in the world, like, I don't know, Karen's mum, you know, it could be anyone. Like, you know, we could invite Jeff like, we can invite, like, you know, anyone. I actually have someone in mind who I think would be really good. A friend of mine who's in, she works in she's like a political lobbyist, and she does a lot of stuff with the elections, like both in the like UK and in the USA. She worked on the Obama campaign, and she's about to come over and work on the last 3 weeks of the election for Hillary there in the States. She's from the UK, and she's actually the person that got me watching Teen Wolf. So she's the reason that I am doing this podcast and I'm into Teen Wolf. So she has a very interesting life and also a connection to me and Karen starting this podcast. So she's kind of a random guest with an interesting life that I have in mind. And, you know, I'm hoping to get some people to come in and talk about the, you know, the gripes or the cool things behind the scenes in their jobs. And, you know, it should be good, I hope. So There's a lot of scope there, and I hope you guys like it. It's going to be sharing internet space with Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. It's obviously going to have its own iTunes account, and it's got its own website, which is notaboutheweatherpodcast.com, which is the same Tumblr format as our current website, so you can follow that there as well. But the two sites do share like a pretty kind of landing page, which is just natwpodcast.com if you want to check that out as well. So that's probably enough about that for now. And we'll, I guess, remind you about that later or show it to you on the Twitter when the first episode comes out. But that's what we're going to be doing. We're obviously not giving up this podcast either. And we're going to, you know, keep doing Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, you know, while season 6 is on, and then probably, you know, keep it alive and do a couple of episodes a year about any news or big side projects, though some of the side projects might be great things to talk about on Not About the Weather as well. So hopefully that sounds good to everyone. I think it's going to be fun. Karen, how did you feel about doing the first episode?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I mean, not that I was surprised, because like we were talking about, it's just a conversation with friends. I think Mitch mentioned that, like, you know, you kind of forget that there are listeners out there sometimes, because we're all friends. We're all just talking about what we like. And why wouldn't I want to spend another hour each week talking with my friends? So it's fun. And I'm hoping that it means I can podcast with some people that I don't podcast with as often, or, you know, meet some new internet people that maybe I don't talk to a whole lot often, and just kind of figuring out, you know, what they're up to and have them on the show and explain what their lives are like. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's the aim. Obviously, we are, you know, with a entertainment pop culture focus of, but it could honestly be anything because everyone likes stuff. So that's, you know, that's, and everyone hates stuff. So that's kind of where we can go with that. But Teen Wolf itself, back to the main topic, obviously of this podcast. So during the weekend of New York Comic Con, while Karen was running around the convention and I was at home setting up the new podcast, the season 6 trailer dropped, a new trailer, you know, a secondary to the one that we saw at San Diego Comic Con. And that one had some pretty important moments in it. And then we also had the panel opened with a cold open of 7 minutes of footage from the first episode of season 6, which then also went online. And then Karen will also have all of the news from the actual panel itself. But the trailer was kind of shocking because...
Can I tell you a funny story about this, actually?
Yeah, please.
Because they put it out online before the panel, which...
Really? Was that on purpose?
Oh, yeah. It was released the night before the panel. And they've been doing that, actually, like, not just Teen Wolf, everybody. The Power Rangers trailer came out before the panel. Tons of things kept coming out before the panel. And, like, I get it because it's going to end up online anyway, but it kind of defeats the purpose of traveling to New York Comic Con if things are going to go up online beforehand anyway. But aside from that... Danielle went to New York Comic Con as well, and we hung out, you know, the whole weekend and everything, and she pulled it up, and we watched it on her phone, and I was like, oh, that's a pretty good trailer, and she was impressed by it, and I was like, this is really interesting, and I think it's going to be a good season. You know, not really, like, emotional or anything like that. They played this right before the panel. Within 10 seconds, I just start crying.
I don't know why. Even though you'd seen it.
Yeah, and I just started crying, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because, like, it had finally hit me. It was on the big screen. I was surrounded by Teen Wolf fans. I knew this was the last panel, maybe because Danya was sitting right next to me, but I just started crying, and it was so embarrassing, but, you know, it happens. It's a good trailer, though.
Yeah, it is. So there's a lot going on in it. The big thing, big news is that, you know, there's an outright love bomb in it, which we'll get to in time. But a few other matters before that. It's obviously, you know, Styles, you know, warning Lydia that he's going to get taken by the Ghost Riders. So it's something that he knows in advance. And then kind of us seeing some of the repercussions of that. And then, you know, going back to him in the car again, in the Jeep, getting prepared to be taken. So, first of all, it, you know, it has some more pretty, you know, the pretty explicit looks at the Ghost Riders. So they're not in shadows. You can see them there, the guys and their costumes and the horses and their faces, like the masked faces. So, how do you feel about those guys at the moment, Karen?
Not great. Super creeped out. I was surprised by how scary they were, really, because compared to a lot of the other villains, they don't necessarily look monstrous. You know, they kind of just look like people, although they sort of have, like, dementor faces, which is definitely creepy. But, like, the Nagitsune, if you think back to that, like, the bandaged man... That was really scary, even though you couldn't see a whole lot of what was going on there, but it had to do with, like, the way that it walked and its teeth and the way that it spoke. And these guys just look like people on horses with guns. They look like cowboys, and yet they're terrifying. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
The bit that's in the actual cold open, which we'll talk about in a minute, when he kind of jumped on top of the car and, like, scrambled up, they're not, like, this is going to sound a bit weird, but they're not very, like, elegant. They're very human, if you know what I mean. The way they move is, like, I hope that makes sense, like, if you know what I mean. It's not like, they're not like, ooh, a prowling creature. It's like a flailing person, you know, like, scrambling up a car to grab something, which kind of makes it, like, more sinister. It's because it's not just, oh, it's someone naturally wired that way, you know? Like, it's not something naturally doing that. So it, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I like the horses. I want to talk to someone about all of the horses and what it was like to work with the horses on set, because I am like a horse nerd from childhood. So I'm excited for that as well. The pack, basically, we get sort of a bit more confirmation from them about the idea that we theorized, and kind of it was confirmed by the initial trailer, that they're going to figure out that they're missing someone. They don't know who. They realize that they're all missing the same person, like that they're kind of all not remembering the same person, that they don't know who. And you see the various members sort of having trouble with this, like, you know, trying to remember what they can't remember, trying to understand that. Scott obviously has some memories of Styles that, you know, at his locker, you know, thinking about the fact that he's his best, you know, it's this best friend that he never knew he had. And we hear kind of some of the haunting strains of Motel California, you know, bromance playing there with Scott remembering, or possibly just for the benefit of the audience, Styles talking Scott, you know, out of blowing himself up with a stick of dynamite. So that was a really good throwback that I really was really happy to be reminded about. How about you, Karen?
I honestly didn't, like, notice that particular thread. I'm really bad with music. I can't pick up.
I mean the actual quote, like, of the...
Oh, the quote.
Of the overplaying, yeah, of the memory of that for
school. Oh. I wanted to talk about the music anyway, because there was another point in the trailer where, you know, they're kind of having a funny moment, and then all of a sudden the music kicks in, and it's like, it's about to get real. And I hate when they do those moments, because, like, you just know the emotions are coming, and they did that a couple of times in the trailer, and I think that this whole forgetting Styles thing is going to be really brutal, just because... I mean, it's Styles. Like, Styles is such a big part of everybody's lives. They all are. I mean, they've been through so much. But particularly for Scott and Lydia, Styles has been such a huge part of their lives. And the idea that they've forgotten him, is just... it's awful. And I think the absence is going to be really interesting to watch, because... his presence, I mean, they're going to erase his presence. We saw that, you know, a little bit throughout the trailer, but you still kind of know something's missing. Like Lydia says, you know, I knew I was going to meet somebody this morning, but I can't remember who. And it's little things like that I think are going to kick in and just kind of, like, punch you in the chest.
And that feeling is so annoying. Like, it's like, annoying is a light word, but I get that all the time. Like, I go through, you know, I'll walk into a room. I'll walk from my bedroom or something into the kitchen, and then when I get to the kitchen, I won't know why I've gone there, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm like, I know that there was a reason I was doing this, and then I can't remember why, and then I have to kind of rewind in my head, like, about, okay, so, or, like, look through my phone, or, like, what prompted me, like, did someone just text me to go and check if we have milk, you know what I mean, like... And that's actually pretty common for me, like, or even, like, on my phone. This is, like, obviously not the same thing as, like, forgetting an entire human. But, like, I'll open a browser window and I'm like, what was I going to look up? And then I'll just have to, like, scroll through, like, you know, what I was looking at, like, a WhatsApp conversations, Twitter, whatever. I'm like, what prompted that feeling that I was going to do something? And then as soon as you see it, you know, you're like, oh yeah, that's what it was. And so I'm feeling like that kind of mental, like, frustration and itching, and like that mental stress of, like, it totally being plucked from you without your control. That's what's going to be happening to them, but, like, on the scale of, like, not remembering, like, an entire very important person. So that's not very good. We've got a shot in the trailer of Malia crouched down in the street. Like, I think she's got her glowing blue eyes on and she's naked. And so the big kind of question for that is why. I think the pretty obvious answer is, like, is she now going full coyote in the same way that Derek can go full wolf, and Talia was going full wolf in the same way that Malia was when we first met her, when she was living as a full animal, like not a transformed, you know, werewolf or whatever. So do you think that that's going to be like something that she, I don't know, like goes back to, like, you know, do you think she actually is going to spend the rest of her life as a human, or is she going to run off into the forest and be a coyote forever? Or is this just a skill that she can now, you know, use in the same way that Derek can, or what do you reckon?
That's what I'm worried about, actually, because I'm like, okay, there are a couple of options here. I think you're absolutely right that, I mean, what other explanation than she is turning into the coyote, but, you know, is she doing it of her own free will? Is she doing it out of, like, fear or something like that? Or is somebody, like, are the Ghost Riders somehow manipulating her into doing that? We don't know. And that image is so quick in the trailer. She kind of looks afraid, but not, like, absolutely terrified.
Yeah, and I feel like she's not the kind of person that would, like, even if she's a bit socially inept, she wouldn't, like, get naked in the middle of the street, you know?
No. Like... no. So I'm just wondering if she's doing this herself or if something else is sort of forcing her to do it. But I hope, and I really don't think they would do this, but I hope that whatever it is, Malia can use this as like a positive thing, not as, okay, life sucks, I'm gonna run off into the woods and live as a coyote all the time, because that would be kind of convenient, you know, Stydia wise. And I think
I didn't even think Malia, about that.
Yeah, and I think Malia deserves a lot more than that. Like I said, I really don't think they would go in that direction, but you know, that is something that I kind of thought of in the back of my mind.
I hope not. That's not what I would like it to be. I didn't even think about that, but... ugh. So, I mean, speaking of Stydia, I suppose we can talk about that. There's a few other important elements still to talk about, including Sheriff Stilinski, but, this really, really hinges this trailer, and it sounds like this season, on Stiles and Lydia, and on... you know, her being the one that he's, I don't know if it's just because she's, you know, with him last, or if she has a power, you know, something about her power is able to hang on to something that the others don't, or if because he feels like that she is the, you know, most important thing, or the most, like, you know, the person in the world that cares about him the most, or whatever. I don't know what it is, but she's the one that that he begs to kind of remember him. It sounds like that he's making a plan to get taken, or at least that he knows it's going to happen and is prepared for it. So what did you think of that? That kind of the first step there, that he is actually preparing for it, and he kind of has that line. He's like, okay, it's showtime. Like, you know, do you think that it's just that he got marked and he knows he's going to be taken, or is it like a rescue mission that he's taken on purpose in order to go find out what's happening? What do you reckon?
You know, they pack so much into these trailers that it's hard to wrap your head around it sometimes. I feel like this was like such a huge moment to show in a trailer, which makes me a little nervous for like what else is coming. But I think somehow he ran into the Ghost Riders and he knows he's going to be taken. So he's not like making a plan to be taken or anything, because Lydia says like, oh, we need to get out of here. And he's like, it's too late. So clearly like he's already understanding the dynamics and the rules of how the Ghost Riders operate, but he doesn't want Lydia to forget him. And I think, I don't know, I really like that scene and everything, and for them to drop that in the trailer is really interesting. But I think it's gonna be rough. That's what I just keep thinking, like, this is gonna be so hard to watch.
I have real trouble like with that kind of idea, or any time that people are shown like accepting their fate, basically, if you know what I mean, like, as opposed to going down kicking and screaming. When someone is kind of prepared for something and like lets themselves happen, like walks into a sacrificial situation, if you know what I mean. That always really messes me up. So I don't know if that's going to be what's going on here, but no thanks. But, you know, Lydia is kind of swearing to try, you know, find a way to remember him. And his last line to her there is like, and remember, like, that I love you. And that was just right there in the trailer. Like, that just was like, there it is. Okay, yeah. It's happened. Yeah, you know, so do you think that's exactly what it looks like? Or do you think it's going to be like a soft-pedaled, like, you know, oh, I love all my friends? Or do you think that there's like, this means like something's horrible's happen if going to happen if we get this kind of easy, you know, reveal, like romantic reveal now?
That's a good question. I think that it's real. I think that Styles does love her. I think that they've been heading down the Stydia road for a while. Jeff also said that a lot of the relationships are going to be coming full circle, and I think that's specifically meant for Stydia. Mm-hmm. But it is also interesting that this is happening now. Once Styles comes back, you know, are they going to jump right into a relationship? Is it going to be awkward? You know, we're pretty sure we know how Lydia feels about Styles as well, even if she hasn't specifically said it. But it's, I want it to be done right. And I think so far they have, because it's been this nice slow burn from like total strangers to actual real best friends to something more where, you know, emotions and heart is involved. But after he comes back, I'm just curious, you know, how it's all going to work.
I mean, do we have any idea, like, you know, if this Ghost Rider's arc is going to be the full 20 episode arc, you know, or if it's going to kind of be cleaned up and then something else before the end? Like, are we going to get, you know, is it going to be kind of, he goes, and then there's 10 episodes of him not being there, and then he comes back, and then they're together and happy for the final 10? Or is it going to be, like, you know, a final episode thing? Like, do we know anything about Dylan's involvement? I know that, like, we don't, but, like, do we know anything about the involvement in the back half of season 6?
Not really. It's been confusing with scheduling and everything. I know right now Dylan is in London, I think, for the American Assassin filming, but I don't know how, like, if he's got time off to come back or how that's going to work, what they've shot so far. I know they're still working on the back half of season 6, but I don't know. I just hope everything works out. This is the last season. A lot is riding on this, and I'm excited, but I'm also nervous. Like, I trust the show. You know, we've been through a lot with the show, and we're pretty happy with everything that's happened, but, you know, this is the final season. I need it to make me happy.
You don't think he might die?
No. That would be so awful. They couldn't do that.
I mean, they could.
But they couldn't.
But they could.
No.
No, because I think Scott has to have a happy ending, and they won't do that to Scott. Like, for any other reason, they won't do that to Scott, I don't think. So, anyway. So, there's a few scenes, you know, in between the initial opener and the I Love You of you know, the montage of people trying to remember or not remembering or whatever. A couple really stuck out to me. One was, you know, Lydia and Styles sort of sitting back to back in the parallel universes, which was very upsetting and tragic. And you show how upset she really is as well, which is just pretty telling. But the other one, which is possibly even worse, was with Sheriff Stilinski and his kind of anger and frustration. Like, he's kind of got this, like, crying anger about, like, you know, the situation. He clearly feels some sort of loss and, but doesn't necessarily believe what's going on or something like that. And, you know, he's just like, why do you care if I, you know, remember him about, but he's also kind of upset. So I don't know, that whole circumstance with that scene was really confronting. So I don't know how he's going to be reacting to that. Like, if he doesn't remember Styles, does that mean he's going to forget everything about anything that ever came to him through Styles, like the supernatural? Like, everything is going to have to be rebuilt, like, or is, you know, No idea how that's going to work, but...
Or his relationship with Scott.
Yeah.
Oh, it hurts.
Are you okay? You sound like you're actually dying.
I have chest pains. This is not okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. Why?
I don't know, but that was the most surprising thing to me about the trailer. That reaction of Sheriff Stilinski's, like, the anger in that was the most shocking thing and the thing that made me the most curious. So, I don't want to say I look forward to seeing that, but you know what I mean. The other little bit that I didn't sort of catch as well was the bit with someone disappearing in the library. That was kind of a bit reminiscent of the original virtual reality that we saw with the green light. But did you get anything from that bit?
No, this actually really confused me because in the virtual reality, it was Mason that disappeared, right?
Yes, I believe so. And then it was kind of like he never existed. Yeah.
Yeah, but we see Corey and Mason looking on as somebody disappears, which makes me think it could possibly be Liam, or maybe it could just be a random person who was in the library who kind of gets caught up in the supernatural, and this is what leads them to start looking into it or something like that. But either way, it was, like, kind of shocking because they've got their whips around him, I think, and he's sort of strung up and then just bursts into green light, and it was very violent.
That's what I was most surprised at in the cold open as well, is how, as I said, kind of inelegant and unsupernatural that it is. Like, yes, there's the green light, but... Like, I didn't expect them to actually break into the car and, like, grab the people and drag them out. I sort of expected it would just be like a poof and they vanished, you know, that kind of situation. I wasn't expecting that violent manhandling. So that's actually quite horrible.
Yeah, I think either way, when you're on either end of the spectrum, like, sometimes when villains, especially supernatural creatures, are extremely elegant and fluid, like, that can be really creepy. But on the other side, when they're very, like, brutish and violent like that, it's kind of visceral. Like, it just gets in your face. And you're right, when they just drag them from the car, rip off the car door, when they're, you know, have somebody strung up in the middle of the library like that, it makes them seem bigger somehow. Mm-hmm. And that kind of freaks me out.
Mm. Did you want to take us through a bit more about the cold open as you were there and got to witness that?
Yeah. I don't think I cried during this part. So there's that at least. Mm. I cried later on too. So it's fine. I made up for it. The cold open starts off with Liam and Hayden having lots of terrible dates, and their car breaking down in the middle of the woods is probably their best date ever, which I thought was kind of funny. I haven't talked about her in a while, but I still love Hayden. I still think she's a badass, and I like how she jacks up the car.
How long is this meant to have been? Like, do we know the time gap here? Because they're always like, oh, you know, Christmas. Like, it sounds like they've been dating for, like, a while. So how long is the gap between 5 and 6?
That's a good question. I want to say I'm remembering like a couple of months again, 3 or 4, but that's just a total guess. I don't know if we know that for sure. Mm. But yeah, they sound very comfortable with each other. Like they've been on quite a few dates and they've met each other's families. And, you know, that's kind of a big deal. But also, Jeff said at the panel that they'd be butting heads this season and that it might not totally end well, that they might kind of split apart, be pulled apart because of it. And I'm wondering, you know, not everybody's going to get a happy ending. And I wouldn't be too surprised if these two didn't, just because they're sort of like the next generation. Like, we want the main characters, Scott, Lydia, Styles, we want all of them to be happy, even Malia, but I wouldn't be surprised if they gave us a little, you know, heartache with Liam and Hayden, which would make me sad, but as long as Hayden doesn't die.
Yeah, that's a bit I don't know. Like, they're still they seem to be working well. There doesn't seem to be any reason for them to break up, but maybe, I have no idea. We'll have to wait and see, I guess. But yeah, the thing that made me the most curious about this was the time jump, and also the the way that they've styled Liam's hair, Dylan Sprayberry's hair. My God, he looks like a genetic mix of Scott and Styles. Like, so, like, he literally looks like a male, genetically spliced love child of Scott and Styles. So much this season that I like there's something about like the cheekbones and the hair and like everything about him. He looks like such a real mix of them that I'm just amazed by it.
Oh my God. Speaking of Scott and Styles, though, what did you think about the funny bits in this cold open? Oh my God.
So good. So good. I was so excited because it was like, so obviously we had them. they're bored, like there's nothing supernatural going on, and it seems to have been that way for a while, so they've decided to, like, you know, try and like help out by fighting crime like normal crime, by exposing the Scott's werewolf self to get a guy to, you know,
right. Pull,
it just amazing. It's totally stupid of them, but it's so funny, and I do find it quite realistic because the timeline has been so tight of the show. You know, it's gone from problem to problem to problem to problem, and I feel like that there has been some time now maybe that they've had without a problem, and they don't know how to handle that. And that's what the conversation is about. Like, you know, that's what the you know, that Styles is kind of like got this anxiety that they need to always be helping, and that Beacon Hills is never going to be safe, and Scott's kind of like, no, they don't need us, we're okay. And you know, it presents a lot of big questions about whether those guys, like that generation, can just walk out of town, or if they have a responsibility because they're the only ones in on the secret. As I've said many, many times, my big solution to this is get some Hales back on the job, because there weren't these kind of ongoing problems before the Hale pack got dismantled. But yeah, if you've got some secret hereditary werewolves with like a duty bound honor to look after the town, then the like random teenagers can go off to college and like have a life. So that's still my big plan for the show. But I don't know.
Good plan.
It was so funny, like the framing, like the cut of it, and it tells you, you know, that these guys aren't like, you know, beaten down by life and like don't have, I don't want to say fun. I don't think they were doing it for fun exactly, but they're not like all that mature or anything, like, if you know what I mean. They're not like hardened adults through everything they've been through.
Which is kind of amazing because they've been through so much. Yeah. But for me, this really felt like season one. Like, let's go out into the middle of the woods and find half like a dead body.
When they get into the car and try and like interrogate Derek in season one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And I mean, the way that they like go back and forth with the sheriff too, like, Lyndon just sells these scenes because he is so fed up.
Yeah.
He's so fed up with these boys, and they're just like, what? Trying to be all innocent angels when we know they're not.
It was fantastic. I really liked it. I thought the cuts, like, that were very, very humorous. And I just love that they are like, oh, we've got to do something to help. And, you know, Styles is still tapping into the police radio to try and, like, find stuff that they can help with. It's like, you're not Spider-Man, calm down. Like, and yeah, I want to know more about that. And then Styles is so excited when he gets the phone call, like, from his dad to say that they are actually
they need us.
I thought it was amazing, and it felt really real between Dylan and Tyler as well. I feel like they're always great together, but this felt weirdly natural in a way that I can't describe properly. Does that make sense?
It really does, because I think this is also something that Teen Wolf does really well, is they give you funny and then they give you really like heart-wrenching or really real scenes, and then they go back to funny, and it kind of allows you to get through all of that stuff Because, yeah, like, it's funny in the beginning when they're on the truck and, you know, the sheriff is like,
we politely asked him to pull over.
But then also, like, Scott is like, dude, this could be a good thing that they don't need us anymore. And Stiles is just not ready to leave Beacon Hills in the hands of somebody else. And he wants that feeling of being needed, and he wants that feeling of protecting the town. And I think Scott wants that too, but he's kind of resigned himself to believing that, you know, they don't need us anymore. That's a good thing. We can move on with our lives. This is all we've ever wanted, is, you know, not to feel like we're going to be dying every other day. But then at the end, when Stiles is so excited that they might actually need him, I think that is just, you know, it's funny, but it was also just very real. And I think a lot of it, yeah, did have to do with Dylan and Tyler in that scene.
It's interesting, like, to me, that they have made the choice to leave Beacon Hills, if you know what I mean, that they did not feel that Scott and Lydia particularly, you know, as very powerful and also, you know, somewhat ambitious outside of this life, that they actually didn't feel like they had to stay, if you know what I mean, that they'd been making the college plans and applying and getting in, that they weren't like, oh, like, my life, you know, I don't get to have that life, if you know what I mean, that they actually did decide that no matter what's coming, I still get to have my life. And I found that quite interesting, that they didn't make the call that they had to stay, that they felt that responsibility.
Right, and I think that's going to be really, really important for the second half of season six, because whatever they end up doing with the show and whatever they direction they end up going in, I think you always need that, like, little bit of hope, that the idea that they can live a normal life, mm-hmm. even if they are going to continue being who they are and, you know, protecting Beacon Hills or wherever they end up going. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that they're also continuing to be themselves as people, not just as, like, heroes and, you know, werewolves and banshees and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so then obviously the sheriff, you know, has a job that he can call the boys in to do, which is to get the memories out of the young boy that Liam and Hayden found, which is that's a pretty intense. The way that he sat him down and was like, so we have a way that we can do this, and it's going to suck. Like, is this something they get Scott to do, like, a lot? Or is it only been, like, is this the first time they've ever done it, like, when they weren't sure if the situation was a, you know, a civilian or whatever? Because it sounded like that, you know, this is, like, a service that Scott regularly provides, which I kind of enjoy, but would probably leave a lot of questions for people. But Scott does that to the kid, the memory nails situation, and sees the capture of his parents. I have a few big questions about this. So his parents are taken by the Ghost Riders, presumably, and that he gets this feeling, and Scott gets this feeling from the vision that they're coming back for him, like that they know, he knows he's marked, he knows he's, you know, getting tracked by these guys. My question is, does this kid currently remember his parents? How fast does the vanishing happen? Does he know he conceptually had parents but doesn't know anything about them? Or does he currently remember them and then it'll start to go? For example, if Sheriff looked them up in the files, would they exist, or have they already vanished from existence? Is what I want to know about this kid and his parents. Like, how soon the forgetting starts, if that makes sense.
That actually is a really good question that obviously I don't think we can answer, but that is going to be important information when it comes to Stiles, because we know, I'm also thinking about it as like a remembering thing, because I feel like Lydia is remembering faster than the others, or holding on to that information longer than the others, and you're right. I mean, I don't know how that would work exactly, but that's probably one of the questions that we should be asking at this point.
Yeah, like it could be this you know, kid running around being like, don't you remember my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Smith? And they'll, everyone else is like, no. But I don't really know how that's going to work for them, or, you know, how, or maybe if you're all so marked, you don't forget or whatever. But I'm curious to see where that scene goes from there. Like, if we find out, you know, if the sheriff then asks, you know, about the parents and the kid is like, I don't know, if you know what I mean. Like, if they realize directly after this scene that there is some sort of more to it. But the sheriff does sound pretty relieved at first, where he's like, oh, the guy is a man with a gun. That sounds like something I can do. So, yeah, a nice change. So, obviously, the Ghost Riders do have something supernatural on their side if they're able to do the whole whatever it is they do. But I'm curious to see if they are actually supernatural beings, or if it's like a technology thing, or like what it is that is going on.
Yeah. Good questions. Let's jump into the panel now. Mm-hmm. And with the panel, they actually didn't give out a whole lot of information. And I think a lot of the main points we already hit, because they were talking about the trailer a little bit. Mostly they spent the entire time either reminding us that it was the last panel or sharing memories from set. And it was terrible. It was a terrible experience, and I hated it because I cried a lot.
I love your recap of this panel here. It's just fantastic.
Thank you.
In the notes.
I just said that it was awful about 16 times, because it was. But it was also really nice to hear them talk about how much the show means to them. And we've heard it like 1,000 times, but it never gets old to me, at least, that they talk about this being a family for them. And it's so obvious in the way that they interact with each other on stage and behind the scenes videos and even on screen, like we were talking about with Dylan and Posey.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeff says that Lyndon is now one of his best friends. Obviously, Posey and Dylan are best friends. And all of the other ones, like Colton and Holland, you know, have become really close. And everybody still hangs out with everybody. And I just think that's really awesome. But the show ending is going to have such a huge impact on everybody. And I think, in particular, it's going to have a huge impact on Posey. Yeah. I am not exaggerating when I say he cried the whole panel.
I am slightly worried about what's going to happen to him. And I'm not trying to be like weird or creepy about that, but like you know, he talked before at other cons that we were at about, you know, he knows that he's like, he enjoys like leading and the comfort of like making people feel comfortable and being that person, and that he needs to find like something else to do that with now. And I worry about if he doesn't find that quickly, like what is going to happen, because I feel like he's gonna be like the Nathan Fillion, like pining over Teen Wolf forever, who's like Nathan Fillion, like who still is like, Mal Reynolds was the be all and end all of my life, and like it's not a bad thing, like he has amazing successful career, but it's still his number one thing, and like he still says it's the favorite thing that he's ever done, best work that he's ever done. And I'm like, is that like, on one hand I appreciate that he still appreciates it, but on the second hand, is that like a bit like sad for him that everything down there has been since then has been downhill, if you know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Is that really horrible?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would like to think that Posey is not peeking at Teen Wolf just because we've seen what he can do. And he is a great actor, and I think behind the scenes, he has really come into his own, like you said, as a leader and as somebody who just likes to take other people in and build them up. And I think, you know, that is his calling. We've seen him like hosting shows as well, and he's just so good at that. So, I mean, I don't think that this is the end for him, and I'm sure he realizes this is not the end for him either, but his love of this show. I mean, he always says, like, he'll keep doing it forever. And I truly believe that if they'd let him, you know, he would stay there forever. And I love that they, like Lyndon said, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle. And I think for Posey in particular, this was just sort of an ideal situation for him. And he kept trying to explain what the show means to him. And then he just would get super emotional and yell and swear and then try to finish his sentence. But, you know, for somebody who is constantly bouncing around the stage and being absolutely ridiculous, he was sitting very still, sort of like staring off into the distance and wiping his face all the time. And that really got me, because that's real. You know, I mean, people can say, like, yeah, I don't want the show to end and I feel really sad about it and I'm emotional, but that right there just shows plain as day how important the show is to him. And I, as a fan and as a person who has been watching for so long, that really means a lot to me, because obviously the show has brought us a lot of great memories and experiences, and that, you know, I can sort of understand what he's going through. So it's tough, but I also think that hopefully Teen Wolf is going to be a jumping point for him.
Mm. Yeah, it's so weird. So weird to think about, but oh well. And then there was some other news in the panel that everyone's going to die, basically.
Yeah. Okay, not everyone, but Jeff did say, quote, certain characters will find their end.
Does he just mean...
My immediately thought was Gerard.
Does he just mean, like, they're going to get an ending, or does he mean
no.
They're going to die?
I'm pretty sure the implication was death.
Oh. Do you think it'll be any of the leads? But...
No, I don't. I can understand wanting, like, to do an impact early on. I can also, like, early on in the series, I can also understand wanting to let certain people go because of their contracts and stuff like that. But this is the final season. I would like to think that they feel like they, I don't want to use the word owe the audience, because I really, truly don't believe that's how television works, but that they feel this relationship with the audience where they want to give them a happy ending. And I mean, Jeff did specifically say,
even if not with the audience, that they don't want to do that to the characters,
right?
You know? Like,
yeah, I mean, they've known these characters for so long and they've come to care for their stories and everything. I would like to think that they could each, you know, get that happy ending, and maybe not a perfect ending, you know, like we're talking about with Liam and Hayden, maybe they'll break up and decide to move on. But, you know, as long as they're still alive, like, that means a lot.
I'm just sort of ticking through everyone, like, who could die of the heroes and it not be the biggest affecting. I think maybe Chris might be.
That would suck, though.
I think he might be, like, because if it's Sheriff or Melissa, that would literally leave Scott or Styles an orphan. And yes, they're an adult, but it would suck. And it would be kind of a terrible, you know, those characters would never get a happy ending, you know, if their parent died because of the world they'd been brought into. Scott or Styles, again, either one of them dies, the other character is not going to have a happy ending. And I don't see that happening unless they want the show to end on, like, a tragedy. Chris, I could see dying in a, like, I'm ready to go now, you know, everyone else I loved is dead, I've done good work,
no
kind
thanks.
Of way. Like, maybe him and Peter, like, could go out together, like, doing good, if you know what I mean.
God.
And I don't really want that to happen, but I could maybe see it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want that to happen. I also think, like, because he's an Argent, I feel like I kind of imagine him just walking off into the sunset, ready for his next mission,
over
you know.
His shoulder and his hat tipped
over
his eyes. Oh, God.
I could see that. You know, honestly, I think a good character to kill off would actually be Deaton, not because
I'm so sorry to anyone involved in this show that ever listens and hears me hate on him, but oh my god, look, I'm allowed to, I you don't pay me, I'm allowed to be objective. I'm allowed to be subjective, and oh my god, yes, I would be like, yay, and then I'd be like, Scott, why are you crying? He sucked.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I don't think that would necessarily impact.
It would be like Dumbledore
impact...
and Harry kind of situation, and Dumbledore sucked too, so it would be a really good parallel. But yeah.
I don't think that would impact the audience that much, because yeah, he's been around the whole time, but he's never played a super significant role. But I do think that would mean a lot to especially Scott, but even the other ones, because he's been a mentor to all of them as well. So for to have somebody who had been there since the beginning, who had helped him control his powers and learn what it is to be a true alpha, that would have a huge impact on Scott. So if they want to go for somebody minor who would influence the story if they died, I think Deaton would actually be a solid choice.
I would be fully on board with fridging Deaton, like, to further Scott's journey. I would just be like, yep, let's go. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened already, actually. But but yeah, sorry, that was way harsh. But, or maybe Theo as well. If Theo ends up good, he could die. I don't want him to because I love Cody, but... It's not like he'd be getting fired or anything. It would just be the end of the
show. I mean, the show's ending anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Who would be the worst if they died? What would be the worst death?
Styles.
Styles. Yeah, I think so too.
Especially after getting him back, like...
But it could be like... That would suck. That could be the whole twist. It could be like, oh, everything's okay. And then, you know, just like... That's happened in many shows. That's a common thing. Like, oh, you think everything's a massive trial, everything's okay, and then a random stray bullet takes you out when you're standing in your bedroom. Yeah. So, so that, I don't think that'll happen, but you never know.
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I think Deaton, Chris, Peter, maybe, Theo, maybe, and then, I don't know, maybe some other people will come back and then die, hopefully not, but to the death, because everyone I want to come back, I want them to live, so.
Just so everybody knows, I did ask Jeff, specifically, what cameos can we expect in season 6,
and he couldn't tell you anything.
So, I tried, guys, I tried so hard. I mean, he did say... They are working on some people and that, you know, it has to go through their agents and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's always a chance.
He knows what we would want or what he would want, you know, or what the show would best benefit from, I think. He knows what's important to the show and to the past and stuff like that. And I think that it would just be a matter of whether the people could do it or would want to do it if their relationship is still good with the show. But we'll see. All right, is there anything else that we wanted to talk about from news? Little bit of news from Jeff's other shows. He's piling them up, a new show with MTV, and then some big casting news for Let the Right One In, but I'm not sure how much info we have about those yet.
Not a whole lot. We do know who the main characters are going to be in Let the Right One In. So they are doing casting for the pilot. They've got a director.
Jeff is in Canada. Like they're shooting it in Vancouver, and he's like based there currently. Is he not, or is he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, the TNT, like, the production is in Vancouver, I believe. So that's, like, that whole scene up there, like, the CW shoots up there and, like, all of those other shows shoot in that little, like, TV bubble in Canada, which is a really different community to shoot in. So that could be interesting for them. The kids he's cast, like, they look really young. Like, I feel like they look younger than the kids did when they started Teen Wolf, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the main character, the girl, is 19, but the boy, I'm not sure how old he is. He does look quite young. He's supposed to be 16.
Yeah, they're meant to be young.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I really have no relationship with Let the Right One In right now. I still haven't read it. I haven't watched anything. I'm obviously invested in the show because Jeff is writing the pilot, but I'm hoping to kind of jump into all of that. Because I think it's a really cool story, too, and it's something that I would enjoy anyway. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's writing it, I think, is just kind of like a plus. But the other thing, the MTV show that he's working on is going to be a War of the Worlds adaptation. He's executive producing that. I don't know how involved he is. It doesn't sound like he's super involved because he's not writing it, but he's obviously backing the project. Mm. I love War of the Worlds, the book. I did see the movie with Tom Cruise, too, which, like, it was fine. I don't really remember much of it, but I really like the book. I think doing it as a television series is really smart, and I think that it could be really cool. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of feeling what MTV is doing right now with some of their shows. I talked about Sweet Vicious on the first episode of Not About the Weather. And how much I absolutely love that. I've written some articles about it, too. And just the idea that they're kind of going in this direction of maybe darker stuff with, like, Scream and all of that. And the idea that they're taking on properties that you wouldn't necessarily think would belong on MTV.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, especially War of the Worlds.
I'm here so for it.
I'm like, that's HBO, like, you'd think would, like, have something like that, like, you know, but good for them, I suppose.
Yeah, I just hope that, you know, whatever they do, it's done right. And I mean, they've proven with Shannara Chronicles that they can do CGI and they can do high quality production, so I'm really not that worried about it. But it's gonna be a lot of work with the script, I think, stretching it out for a television show. And I mean, it's been adapted for television in the past, but to give it like a modern twist, because it is set in like modern times, I think that they're just going to have to make sure that it's a really solid story on top of the spectacle of having the aliens come down and everything.
Oh, I don't know if I like aliens, Karen. But we'll see.
I like aliens.
Yeah. We'll see. Okay, so I think that's all we have for this episode. We'll see what comes up between now and the premiere. Obviously, it's the 15th of October for me, at least. I think it's still the 14th for Karen, so it's 1 month until the premiere. We have a countdown to that on our website in case you
noticed. Oh, my God.
Did you notice that, Karen?
I did not notice, but that also means
coding.
You were very excited about changing the coding. I remember that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the clock yet. But this also means that it's 1 month until my birthday.
Yeah, because season six is Karen's birthday present. Jeff put it on that date specifically.
That is such a lie. But it's a lie I tell myself.
Yeah.
I wish it were true, but
So we'll have a happy birthday Karen party, you know, that day. So it'll be great.
I want you to make me a cake shaped like a werewolf head.
Okay.
You have to eat it.
It's not going to look like a teen wolf werewolf. It's just going to look like a wolf. Like, I don't know if I can
make it. That's okay.
Can I make a teen wolf werewolf head? Maybe. Who knows? I don't think
you just make me Posey's face.
As a cake. I'll think about it. Let me think about it. I don't want to be that girl on the internet that made a cake of Tyler Posey's face and have it go viral as like a creeper thing. So we'll see.
Oh, he was at the panel. He was like super impressed and touched that people had his face tattooed on their bodies. Yeah. And then Lyndon said, "I do on my back."
And then what did Jeff say in the panel about you guys? About the podcast.
It was awful.
So
to continue this theme.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, they were talking about, like, how important this show is, and Jeff was like, you know, I really appreciate it when people tell me how the show has changed their lives and that they met their best friends because of this show. And of course, like, I put my arm around Danya and we start hugging and I'm crying and I'm pretty sure she's crying. And Jeff just turns to us. He must have known we were there.
Wait,
the whole time.
Were you sitting? Could he see you?
Yeah, we were in the second row off to the side because we had press passes. So we were right in the front. And he's like, those two over there from Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. And I just started crying even harder.
That's horrible.
It was so embarrassing. But, like,
so weird.
I mean, to get real for a second, like, I did really appreciate that because it's true. Like,
yeah.
Nat, where would we be without this damn show?
I don't know. This is, again, not about the weather. I wrote a blog post on the Not Another Teen Wolf website about just about what this show, like Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, has, I don't want to say like achieved, but like what has happened with this podcast over the past, you know, 4 years, and why we wanted to keep the community going because of, you know, not just the success, as I said, like what we, not just the, you know, the success with our coverage of the show, but what it's meant for us as kind of a community and as friends. And I wrote about that quite a lot in the post I wrote introducing the new podcast on our website. So if you guys want to like read some more of our feelings, you should go and check that out. I'll put it in the show notes as well. So did you read that post, Karen?
Yeah, it's gross.
Sorry.
I didn't like it. Well, it was like, it was the part from, we went from near strangers to going on each other's family vacations. And I was like, that's so true.
Yeah.
And then I cried.
All right. I wanted to make you cry. Well, I didn't, but I knew it would. So anyway, that's where we're at. So we'll talk to you guys more later, I suppose. We'll try and see what we can do between now and the premiere of season 6. We've got a month to see what kind of interesting episodes we can come up with, or who we might be able to speak to before the premiere. And then we'll keep recapping as the season goes. And in between now and then, we'll also be releasing Not About the Weather, where we are talking about things not about Teen Wolf. And you'll see that on our Twitter and our, you know, the Facebook as well. Did I mention Facebook? I forget. We got a Facebook hub, facebook.com/NATW podcast. It's for both shows. But if you would go and like us there, that would actually be pretty amazing, because Facebook likes are super valuable when being taken seriously for some reason. Even though we have a lot of Twitter followers, Facebook always comes first for people and we don't have it. So go and help us make that legit if you have the kindness in your heart. All right, that's probably enough for now. So we'll see you guys later. Thank you for listening. And yeah, let us know what you're excited about for season 6, especially given this new footage. So until then, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's Natalie again. I am just back to add on a little bit to this podcast. Last month I was at Oz Comic Con here in Sydney, and the Carver twins, Max and Charlie, some of our favourite people who've ever been involved with Teen Wolf, they were down in Sydney and Brisbane to do that convention as well. And I was able to hang out with them, Finn, and then we sat down and did a bit of an interview here talking about you know, what they think about the potential for season 16 Wolf, and also about their new BidChat app, which they were doing the Howl for a Cure campaign on last month, and which they're still running with. So I tweeted out a fair bit of information from this interview when we did it, but this is the actual full audio because they're really fun to listen to, and I really hope to have them on one of the podcasts again in the future. So here you go. Here's 15 minutes of Max and Charlie in Sydney Oz Comic Con.
So I feel like you guys are like always here, like that you're all, that you guys have been in Australia a lot over the last couple of years.
I would have been here. You've been here. This is my third time in the last 2 years. Yeah,
yeah, it's quite a lot.
It is a lot. I'm tempted to just not return back to the States.
Yeah, I mean, the truth. There are benefits and, you know, and It's quite boring, but we do have healthcare and no guns, so that's good. But yeah, so the first thing I wanted to talk about, obviously, hi, guys are here. I'm here, we're all here, it's been a while. What is going on with this bid chat situation?
With bid chat?
So I got your DM the other day on the podcast.
Yeah.
Not another team with podcast. And I wanted to, and I tried to download it from the App Store here, and it doesn't seem to be there. So, side note, is it a worldwide?
It will be worldwide. It's incredibly difficult to roll something out worldwide. So the worldwide's coming soon. It's mainly we didn't want to release to, you know, some English-speaking countries without releasing global.
Yeah.
So worldwide app coming soon, and there is a desktop platform at bitchat.com. So you can't type in bitchat on the phone. But you can do it on your computer.
Okay, so rolling this back a bit, explain the situation to me. So we have obviously an awareness campaign going on with Power for a Cure.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your involvement in the technology? Is it your project, the app itself?
I wouldn't call it my project or our project. It's something that we helped advise and shape towards making it Hollywood-friendly, really making it a pro-social app. And so by pro-social, I mean something that is an awareness generator and also a fundraising tool.
Mm-hmm.
Because Max and I, like, our friends were working in the tech space, and we just said, you know, it would be so nice to engineer a way to make the relationship between playing around on social media and doing good in the world seamless.
Mm.
And so that's, like, really the problem that BitChat is trying to solve.
Okay.
And it's one approach.
Yeah. And, I mean, we recently launched it, but our first day, I mean, our Teen Wolf fans are just the best, and they actually crashed the servers about six times.
We had like 50 servers running.
No, we had 600
servers running and ready to go, and we had to immediately like lease out all of this other space because there was such a surge.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing, kind of a cool thing.
So it's a brand new platform designed to combine the whole social awareness, and, you know, you see on Twitter a lot of like, you know, retweet this or whatever.
Right.
And this is actually incorporating money into it, like funds.
Yeah, and you don't. So there's bidding to chat, basically.
Yeah.
It's a live streaming platform, but it can go two-way into split screen.
And anyone can use it. Anyone can broadcast. It's really kind of, are we allowed to talk about existing technologies, or should I just scrap those off the table? I won't talk about existing stuff.
Yeah, I can talk. Like, one of the things that, like, we've pivoted towards is, you know, it's been a really rough year, I think, globally for everyone. And in the U.S., 2016's been pretty tough. And I saw some of my friends who are, you know, some of them are internet personalities or writers getting onto Facebook and trying to do a telethon of sorts. But they were holding, they had to, like, hold up handwritten cards to
go here to donate.
Like, there was no seamless way to make that donation happen or generate
awareness. And no interaction.
And so what I think part of what's cool about BitChat is you can talk about the cause that you're raising money and awareness for, but you don't have to. It's engaging in a whole new kind of live stream environment. But there is the added benefit of giving to charity.
Mm. So is it designed only for charity fundraising, or is it something that, you know, people who are trying to fund their own lives and projects, you know, like, you know, singer-songwriter, literally direct crowdsourcing money?
You've got it, actually.
Yeah.
So there's an interesting split on the app. If you're verified on Twitter, Instagram, any of these other social media platforms, you're kind of put into a verified broadcasting group on BitChat, where it could be both, but it really is a fundraising tool.
Mm-hmm.
We see it that way. But we're going to open up the app so that anybody who, you know, whether that's being a singer-songwriter or a makeup tutorialist, you know, they now have a way to really engage with their audience, and our audience can sign on for, like, a consultation or, you know, a custom song or some kind of, like, class work. But even still, even if it is a kind of microeconomy tool like you were describing, there's still a 5% minimum, but a 5% minimum charitable give, no matter what.
Great.
But whoever is broadcasting can choose to donate whatever level they want.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So, just, you know, talking about this, if we kind of are talking to people and describing it, so what is the process usually like for, like, a fan, like, you know, the live streams that you've been doing so far? What is the process? You're pulling out your phone, you are, again, I don't know how to, like, name drop, you know, do this without, like, name dropping other examples, but, like, are we talking, like, it's, like, you know, it's like a Periscope experience, except instead of, you know, donating likes, you're...
Okay, so
paying to sort of access, donating to access, or
yeah. So as a viewer, you would go online. Mm-hmm. You would get notified from somebody who you're following on the account that they're about to go live, and you would open up the app and find them, and you would watch them broadcast. Mm-hmm. And the broadcaster can really start taking questions at the beginning, or create a window where they're really just live streaming as you would on Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can watch for free,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to interact for 1-3 minute windows of time, you can bid to chat.
Okay.
And then when the countdown clock finishes, you'll see who won that window of interaction, and you'll be seamlessly slid into the chat.
Okay.
And everyone still watches that chat. But the cool part is, we also thought about, you know, going to these conventions and meeting so many fans. What's wonderful about that is we see kind of what they continually talk about. We wanted to create kind of shareable moments. So what happens with this app is, if you were to split screen into a conversation, then the app actually captures a video of that conversation, so you can have that as a memento and share it or do whatever you want.
Yeah,
it's called a moment. Yeah. So there's an archive on the app of full broadcasts and then moments, and those moments are those 1-3 minute interactions.
Mm-hmm.
And those moments can be shared across social media. So,
and again, we're at the beginning. I mean, we're going to incorporate all kinds of different features based on feedback and also just seeing what would be fun. I mean, we want to make it a really engaging and interactive app as opposed to just like a selfie post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what's great is, like, JR is about to win an award from the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation because he's been such a champion
mm-hmm.
of them for so long. So we really wanted to create a fundraising and awareness event around our friend group, or the Teen Wolf cast, and kind of use that to show, like, hey, here's new ways to think about doing good and also having fun together as fans and as a cast and as friends.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really interesting, like, that you've been so, like, involved, I guess, on the, development of it in terms of the app itself and the campaign. Presumably this is, you said you have friends, like, in the tech space who is sort of, and they're taking your perspective on, I guess, how to
make it comfortable.
Like,
well, more than anything, how to make it comfortable, you know? Like, what features would we want to have using it, such as like a delayed broadcast or eject, in case somebody, you know, did something naughty on the app. So it was just really about, like, walking through with them and creating creating a tool that worked. But we did also, we wanted to trot this out as a way, I mean, I think we're so lucky to be a part of a cast that is generally very into the causes that they, you know, each individual respectively supports, and so we wanted to use this as a way to be like, hey, because Max and I, we've been going around and meeting fans all over the world, and wherever we go, there will be some sort of local fundraising effort that's been inspired by some of the stuff that we all have been doing as a cast, and in return, we get inspired by what we see in the fans, and this seemed like a way to evolve that conversation.
Right.
Cool. And so it kind of means you're because you're doing this with the cause, the How for a Cure currently involves you guys, and you know, JR, Ian and Holland are currently shooting the season. Like, has it kind of, you guys are sort of with those guys all the time, you know, through the convention scene and stuff like that, but has sort of putting this together, like, brought you back into the fold a little more in, like, what's going on, like, with the show at the moment, or?
We're always in the fold, I think. I mean, we see each other all the time living in LA and just being friends.
Great.
But I think this will be an interesting, I think there will be an opportunity for us to hop around on set. Like, we have some cool, fundraising ideas for, like, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
On the Teen Wolf backlog.
Are you trying to figure out what's going to happen?
No. I was at Comic-Con.
Is that what you're trying to do?
Not really. I'm more just wondering. I think the question is, like, are you currently up to date with the show or anything like that?
We know as much as everybody else knows because I'm telling you with that show, and it's what makes it so fun to act on. you really do, some things you know in advance, but a lot of the fun stuff you learn last minute.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what's so great about, I mean, I think it's what's so great about television right now and acting on television is once, as an actor, once you kind of have your core character down and you have a sense of where the arc is going, the new information that comes in that is a surprise, you really get to live out as that character.
For example, like I found out that I was going to die on Teen Wolf, I think the night before we shot it.
Yeah.
That's just how that show works.
Yeah.
Which is a ride.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I think in some ways it's better like that because don't have time to, you know, you're really kind of processing the trauma or excitement of new stuff as it happened.
Yeah.
Or right before it happened.
No, definitely less about digging for secrets and more about, like, obviously I was at Comic-Con when they announced the show was closing up for about 100 episodes, which was kind of like...
heartbreaking?
Well,
were there tears?
It was a weird moment. Like, it was a weird... like, I was at the panel for last year. Like, so this is 16. I was at the panel for 2015 for Hannibal. I was covering Teen Wolf and Hannibal. And that panel was their last panel at Comic-Con, but it was known that it was the last panel. And so it was sort of like a really celebratory atmosphere. Whereas this one, they announced it on the spot, and they kind of tried to, like, make it a celebration, but I think everyone was a bit, like, shell-shocked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, so they're kind of like, you know, it's... still awesome, but I feel like it might have landed like better if everyone had been gone in there like prepared to be like, yeah, this is the end, we're here to like do it. But you know, it was emotional, like, you know, it got like very quiet, like it wasn't even like boo, it was like silence, like dead silence. So that was
Wow. It was in Hall H, no less, right?
It was 20 ballroom 20, so like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, so it was like 4,000 people. It was it was so crazy.
Goodness.
Well,
I have to say, we Teen Wolf does have the craziest fan base in the world.
Yeah.
In the best way. Yeah.
So I can imagine the response. Oh, goodness.
I think what I was trying to ask here is, like, what they're doing, like, as far as I know, is, like, it's somewhat of a choice for them to end there. It's not necessarily a cancellation.
Yeah.
But they've also, like, left off nearly every season with, like, a point where it could be the end. You know, like, if the show closed there... that would be, like, okay as an ending, if you know what I mean. Like, it wouldn't be, like, a major cliffhanger where you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
How do you guys sort of feel about, like, that with shows ending with, like, the seasons that you guys ended on? Like, your ending could have been an end for the show, like, where your season left
off. I think it's nice to think of, you know, I think of TV as moving towards what serialized novels... Sorry, forgive me for all of this, but
no,
what serialized novels used to do in the early, you know, in the 19th century, where, you know, you're getting chunks of this story at a time, and they do kind of have a beginning, middle, and end in each one.
Mm.
As far as like a show ending electively, you know, like Teen Wolf's doing here with season 6, I think that's great.
Mm.
I think it's way better for everyone involved. And for the story as a whole to go, hey, we could keep going, but we want to call this the last season, and we're going to tie up as much and like celebrate as much knowing that in advance, as opposed to it was the same for us with Desperate Housewives. Like,
yeah.
We thought we could have easily gone on to a season 9, and then everybody decided to stop at season 8 to really be like, hey, let's wrap up the story on our terms, as opposed to waiting for a network.
Yeah.
Anything you think they need to 100% hit before they finish, personal opinion wise?
Studio! Come on! It's gotta happen, right?
It's time, guys.
It's time. I want it in the truck.
Have we had.
In the Jeep, excuse me. I want some.
Well, like the hand down the
seat? Yeah, I want some Titanic action in the Jeep.
Wow.
Right?
Schwitzy.
I don't know if we can top that. So, thank you guys for hanging out. I will see you guys tomorrow, probably.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
On the weekend. And, yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Be around. Yes.
Prepare thyselves for Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. Oh, God.
Keep it safe.
Want to say your name, too, so they know who you are.
I'll go with prepare thyselves first.
That's fine.
And then I'll sit down. Yeah. I don't think I'm on that.
Oh my gosh.
Prepare thyselves. This is not another Teen Wolf podcast. And this is Charlie Corver.
Yeah.
Should I sing it?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to buckle up, sit tight, get ready for the wildest ride of your frickin' lives, because it's Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, and this is Charlie Carver signing off. Even though I'm Max Carver, I was kidding.
I don't think you sound similar, so...
Okay.
I mean, similar, but I could tell you
far. Do you have your tissues? How about some water? I think you should buy Gatorade, because you're about to... Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
One second. So I have a question. When was the last time you took... my God.
I stuttered. Sorry.
What should we go with here?
You might be overthinking it.
No, we got to make an amazing introduction. I wish I could do more accents.
Don't try.
Yeah? This is Charlie Carver. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, get ready for it. We got a hot record coming right off the track with Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. And this is Charlie Carver signing off. And Max Carver. Okay, he hates me. All right, let me do one more. Boom. Are you ready for it? You should be. This is Max Carver. Strap in, get ready, and drink some water.
You want to write a script?
I almost said strap on. It was about to right. This is Max Carver, and I want you to get ready for Not Another Teen Wolf podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.